The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you could always check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, to schedule your initial exam and consultation. I do want to say this too. I feel like I haven't talked about it in a while, is that you can always get this on the podcast platform as well. Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne, or you can always hop on freedom95.us. We're on there as well. So if you have to like hop out because you've got a ball game of some sort, or you're running in to get your hair or nails done, you got a workout to do. Those are usually the reasons why I'm in and out of the car around this time. But those are ones you can still catch up on it throughout the week. Now, if you are just tuning in, Maximize Your Life, I was talking to someone today. We're looking at speaking at a large health event. There's going to be 40 plus practitioners that are speaking at this large event. I'll let you know more about them when dates are confirmed. But so I was asked to speak coming up here in the next couple months. And this was my first time meeting her, and it was over Zoom. So I assume she probably just wants to make sure I'm not awkward. I mean, more awkward than what she should allow to speak in front of people, you know, because I am a little bit awkward, but it's like a good, knowledgeable, nerdy awkward, I like to think, at least. And it was so cool because, you know, she's like, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I ask this in interview questions, and it's always so interesting to see what people hone in on. And I said, well, I am a chiropractor, as well as, right, we do structural correction in terms of chiropractic. We look at functional medicine. We look at metabolic reset. I said the last thing I ever wanted to do when I graduated chiropractic school was be a glorified Advil. And still to this day, right, people come in and like, my back hurts. And I'm like, perfect. Let me educate you about why your back is hurting. You know, is it degeneration? Is it kyphosis? Is it a reverse curve in your neck? Is it inflammation? Is it a systemic something or another? Is it toxicity load? Like, there's tons of reasons for pain. But the problem is if you're like, hey, I want a quick fix, like pop me like a glow stick, right? It's people who watch like TikTok. Pop me like a glow stick. I'm like, listen, you can see pain relief with an Advil faster and cheaper than me, right? But your pain, your problems are not a lack of ibuprofen. Your pain or your problems are not a lack of medication, right? Like, there's inevitably something going on. And I had the ability to tell her, you know, one of the reasons why I love chiropractic more than anything is that we never really give you anything. Health is not how you feel. Health is how you heal, right? Health is your ability to heal and function at 100%, not just merely the absence of sickness or disease. So health is how you heal. And all we do as chiropractors that we do at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is remove interference, right? Remove interference and allows for the body to function and heal. That removing of interference might be restoring the cervical curve. That removal of interference might be opening up detoxification pathways. That removal of interference, right? Like, we're never giving you anything. We're just restoring what God gave you. And that is why I am a chiropractor. You know, that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, just inevitably trying to figure out how we get down to the root cause of the problem. So today, this is not going to be a very popular one, But we're going to talk about the dangers of belly fat. Why this is not popular. I understand that there is very much the sense of body positivity. And I can agree with that. You know, I was a teenage girl, adolescence. My weight has gone up and down. I had 3 babies in less than a span of 4 years. I nursed them all. Whatever women are breastfeeding and the weight just falls off, I loathe you, mostly because I'm jealous, because I held on to like 15 pounds. You know, and so just looking at this aspect of, I understand like embracing who you are, but there's a certain point, male and female, that excess belly fat can actually cause organ system dysfunction and cellular harm. So we're going to talk about some of what those are, give you some aspects on how to move the needle a little bit more. But before we dive down into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's Health in the News, plant-based ultra-processed foods linked to heart disease and early death, study says. So, want to reduce your risk of developing chronic disease and live longer and also helping the planet? Eat a health-based, plant-based diet, they said, right? Eat a plant-based diet. Does that mean you can fill your plate with boxed macaroni and cheese, deep dish frozen veggie pizzas, and fast food French fries and have a donut or 3 for dessert? While all of those ultra-processed foods may be meat-free, they're not without risks. This is coming from a woman who, senior teaching fellow at Ashton Medical School in the United Kingdom. I trust them more about dietary advice anyway. So they say, we cannot assume plant-based means healthy, as after all, sugar is technically plant-based. Many foods that do not contain animal products, which include biscuits, crisps, confectionaries, and soft drinks. That makes more sense when you talk about where she's from in the United Kingdom, biscuits. are technically plant-based, but they would not be considered essential as a part of a healthy diet by majority of people. In fact, eating such plant-based junk food dramatically raises bad cholesterol and hypertension and can lead to associated heart disease, early death, according to a study called, quote, the first to show ultra-processed foods are associated with an increase in the risk of cardiovascular disease. Eating plant-based products can be beneficial, acting as protection against health problems, or it can prevent a risk, which all depends on the level of processing of these foods. Ultra-processed foods undergo multiple industrial processes, such as heating, fracking of nutrients and protein, molding and compression, and have added chemicals to cosmetically alter color, smell, taste, and texture. Foods in the category are formulated to be hyper-palatable to human taste buds and often extremely convenient, requiring little or no preparation time. Unprocessed foods include fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, eggs, milk. Minimally processed foods include culinary ingredients such as salt, herbs, and oils, and foods such as canned goods and frozen vegetables that combine culinary ingredients with unprocessed foods. Food additives and industrial contaminants presents in these foods might cause oxidative stress and inflammation. Oxidative stress, we just talked about this not too long ago in a podcast. So if you want to go back and listen to the oxidative stress show, Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. So again, they talk about these foods might cause oxidative stress and inflammation, further aggravating the risks. Therefore, our results support the shift towards plant-based foods choices that consider the degree of processing to improve cardiovascular health outcomes. I always think about this, and then we'll get back to the article. When you go into the plant-based section, all of them are massively processed, and most of them are soy-based. They're not good, healthy, fermented soy. We're talking genetic modifications. We're talking about, there are so many bio-engineered foods, like Frankenfoods. When I hear of plant-based ultra-processed foods, I think of where they say, hey, here's this burger, and look, it has, you know, it's got red on it, like it's blood, like in a hamburger. And they're like, not really the greatest. But so much of them use the added sugars, artificial coloring, super controversial additives, which are like bulking agents. And we're like, but we say it's plant-based and it's not meat. So we're demonizing meat. But when in reality, what they're giving is so toxic. So what they talk about more. So this study that was published in the Journal of the Lancet Regional Health Europe utilized data collected from the UK Biobank. It's a longitudinal study that includes participants from England, Scotland, and Wales. More than 118,000 people between the ages of 40 and 69 answered questions about their diet. Information was later linked to hospitals, mortality records, on the development of cardiovascular risk factors. Researchers found that each 10% replacement of plant-based ultra-processed foods with fresh, frozen, or minimally processed plants lowered the risk of developing cardiovascular disease by 7%, while offering a 13% reduction in the risk of dying from heart disease. The study also looked at plant-based meat products, quote-unquote meat products, such as sausages, nuggets, burgers, which by their very nature fall into the ultra-processed bucket. They said it was harder to be able to have a view on that because plant-based meat alternatives only make up 0.5% of all the plant-based ultra-processed foods included in the paper. Most of what they looked at is the plant-based studies that could have been breads, pastries, buns, cakes, cookies, right? Like it's all the thing we're like, well, it's plant-based. It's plant-based. And in reality, you might throw some greens in there, but plant-based doesn't mean healthy. I'll never forget this. I'm going to share this with you because this family member in which I live with doesn't listen to my radio show. He loves me, but we've been doing this for like 12 years. The radio show also life. But anyways, that's not here nor there. He came in one day and he was like, hey, we were just chatting and he's like, I've been eating healthy. And I said, have you been eating healthy? And he was like, well, yeah. So I might have just missed it. What? And he was like, yeah, I've been eating gluten-free. Right. And this is plant-based. But I think about this when we see like the plant-based, we're like, it's healthy. Plant-based is healthy. Gluten-free is healthy. Plant-based is healthy. And that's not true. Eating plants is healthy. Eating plants is healthy. Plant-based. And so I said, what have you been eating? He's like, gluten-free chicken nuggets, gluten-free pizza. I was like, you are not being healthy. Get out of here. You're not being healthy. The other day, he tried to get a snack. I said, hey, how many vegetables you eat yesterday? He was like, I've been eating a lot. I said, yesterday, how many? He goes, the day before yesterday was a good day. I was like, quit snacking on crackers. Go have like some cucumbers. And here's a hack, and then we'll get into the belly fat. And maybe this is a really good lead-in now that I say it. One of the life hacks, the mom hacks that I have, is that I will often just keep cut up vegetables on hand. My kids like carrots that we like peel and I chop up more than the little baby carrots. Slices of pepper. What else? Cucumbers. They downed a whole raw zucchini. I just cut them into little slices and they just thought it was the best thing. It's like a cucumber, but it's really mild in flavor, just like a little bit different of a flavor than a cucumber. The water base isn't as high on it. And I just keep it out. You know, so ever they have like a munchie, you know, kids love to munch. They'll just run past and like grab a couple vegetable sticks or a couple pepper slices or I took some organic cottage cheese and put some everything but the bagel seasoning in it the other day. And My oldest thought it was literally the best vegetable dip ever because he's just used to eating vegetables. So just those little things, like have vegetables out when it's dinner time and they're like, I'm so hungry. Have vegetables out. I don't care if they fill up on raw vegetables before dinner. I don't care, right? Like at all. If that's what they're filling up on and that's what they're munching on throughout the day, so be it. So just a little mom hack. I've just had them out and they've just been massively consumed. So I was like, ooh, I think I'm onto something here. So, but that's way where you can fill up. If you fill up with vegetables, then you fill up with less other junk, which can prevent some of the dangers of the excess belly fat, which we'll dive down deeper into next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You know what's been really awesome recently is that I have met a lot of radio listeners, and I always think that's the best. Because I appreciate that, right? It's always great. Now, what I think is always interesting about these said radio listeners is that they'll come in and they're like, you know, I've been listening to you for years. And I'm like, that is awesome. Thank you so much. Like, I greatly appreciate that. And my next question then is, why now? Why didn't you come in a couple of years ago? And the response typically is, I didn't have any pain. And I'm like, how do you listen to me for years talk about how we don't judge health on feel and pain? I'm glad to see you here, but I wish I would have saw you years before. So anyways, I say all of that to tell you, if you're listening right now and you think, gosh, I want to see her, but I don't have anything wrong. That is the purpose of true preventative health. So you should just go online and schedule an appointment now. And you will walk in. And you'll fill out the paperwork and you'll think, this is so silly for me to be here. But then we will proactively work. That's like saying it's silly to go to the gym if you're not overweight. Or you're like, but I just want to be healthier. Or you're like, Anyways, belly fat. We are talking today about the dangers of belly fat. I am a huge proponent of body positivity. I will also tell you that if you have an excess, like God made us all different. Some made us tall, some made us short. God made some of us blonde. Some of us have darker skin, right? Some have brown eyes. So that being said, there is research that at a certain point, when you look at that abdominal fat, your belly, if it is larger, although you might embrace it, it does have negative health implications. So here's what, and you'll kind of notice this too, is that if you go to your primary care provider, you will notice that they started doing like belly measurements. And the whole reason being is because statistically there is a formula that comes up on if it increases like all of these different. So visceral fat is important to your general well-being. Like we are going to have a normal amount of fat. Unlike the cells in subcutaneous fat, right, which is underneath the skin. So cutaneous is skin, sub underneath. So the fat underneath the skin. So unlike fat underneath the skin, because typically this sort of visceral fat is one that like keeps us warm and, you know, gives a little cushion. This is not what I'm talking about. subcutaneous fat. Visceral fat is essentially an endocrine organ, right? Like a hormone. Endocrine is your hormone system that secrete hormones. Yep. And a host of other chemicals linked to diseases that are commonly afflicted in older adults. So, for example, one substance, it's called retinol binding protein 4, RBP4, that was found in a 16-year study of nurses to increase the risk of developing coronary heart disease. This hazard most likely results from the harmful effects of this protein on insulin resistance, which is a precursor to type 2 diabetes, and developing of metabolic syndrome, which is just a complex of cardiovascular risk syndromes. So they actually looked, the Million Women study conducted in Britain demonstrate a direct link between the development of coronary heart disease and an increase in waist circumference over a 20-year period. So even when other coronary risk factors were taken into account, the chances of developing heart disease were doubled among the women with the largest waists. Every additional 2 inches in the woman's waist raised the risk by 10%. Cancer is also another risk of belly fat. Raised by belly fat. So the chances of getting colorectal cancer were nearly doubled among postmenopausal women who accumulated visceral fat. Breast cancer risk increased as well. So in a study of more than 3,000 pre- and postmenopausal women in Mumbai, India, those whose waists were nearly as big as their hips faced a 3 to 4 times greater risk of getting breast cancer diagnosis than normal weight women. Another study, a Dutch study published, was linked for both total body fat and abdominal fat to raise risk of breast cancer. So when the women in the study lost weight, about 12 pounds on average, changes in biomarkers for breast cancer like estrogen, leptin, and inflammatory proteins indicated a reduction in the breast cancer risk. So I think the problem is, given that 2/3 of American women are overweight or obese, weight loss may be the best single thing. Now, this is one where most people will say, well, I haven't done a show about it. I feel like I can't speak gracefully to it yet. But we look at, you know, like the GLPs. Like I had someone who just came in. We do a metabolic reset in the office. It's called Chirothin. It has been a blessing to me and my family. May have shared, maybe not at this point. I think it's public knowledge, but my mom a couple years back was diagnosed with breast cancer and she's overweight. So I looked at more of a metabolic reset because what I realized is that I did not actively want to take a medication, right? Like when we talk about losing weight, I always wanted it to be weight loss was a symptom of eating right and exercising and healthier cells in that aspect. And so just from, I went through just this past week a metabolic reset. I put my dad on it recently. He's down 26 pounds and he had a decent amount of belly fat, visceral fat, like fat around his organs. And so to be able to see this metabolic reset, not only are they losing weight, his blood pressure's come down, his blood sugar's come down, and it's by eating fruits and vegetables through this plan. And it's just how amazing, right? Like slowing gastroparesis, like slowing down your body's breaking down of food is not your problem, right? So there are all of these things like, oh my gosh, well, when you stop the stomach from processing, yeah, you're going to be less hungry. And when you're less hungry, you eat less crap. And I literally just don't know how to say it more kind or graceful, which is why I'm not mentally prepared to do a show on it yet. It's the quick fix where they say, hey, you're still, you know, you only eat one piece of pizza instead of 4 pieces of pizza. Well, yeah, your inflammation's probably going to decrease, but there's a reason why, right? Like, why are you eating pizza? Are you eating a salad? How many vegetables did you have yesterday, right? Oh, last week, you know? So, and it's one where, or we rewind to this, quote, plant-based diet, when in reality it's plant-based ultra-processed food that's still increasing disease process inside of our body. I don't know when we've allowed ourselves to get caught in this dumpster-esque, we just eat whatever we want and we do whatever we feel like. And it's one where we can't figure out why 1 in 2 women and 1 in 3 female get diagnosed with cancer in their life. And that's not to include the diagnosis of cardiovascular related events. You know, another one when we looked, one of the most important when we talk about like the amount of toll on an individual is abdominal obesity and the risk of developing dementia decades later. Again, Kaiser Permanente of Northern California took about 6,600 members who were followed for an average of 36 years. That doesn't, like, 6,583 might not seem like a lot of members, but to follow almost 7,000 people for 36 years, found that those in the greatest amount that had the greatest amount of abdominal obesity in midlife were nearly 3 times more likely to develop dementia 3 decades later than others who had the least amount of abdominal fat. Again, type 2 diabetes, compromised lung function, migraine headaches, even asthma risk is raised by being overweight, especially in the abdominal obesity area. That was found in a study, 88,000 people in California teachers. So we have all of these aspects, but what I feel like we miss of so much, there's different types of fat, but more specifically when we talk about active fat, right? Like there are different types of fat throughout the body, and we're going to dive down a little bit deeper into what active fat is next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. Today, we are talking about belly fat. It is a sensitive subject. And for this, I do understand. But I am only telling you this because it's important. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, when we talk about belly fat, there is something called active fat. And why we call it active fat is because this fat and hormones have a relationship together. Like this fat is actively working. That doesn't mean it's necessarily a good thing. Like it's what we think about, like working hard. Visceral fat is referred to as active fat because it can actively increase your risk of serious health problems. If you have some belly fat, that's not necessarily visceral fat. Belly fat can also be subcutaneous fat, which is just right underneath the skin. We kind of talked about that. According to research, about 10% of all body fat is visceral fat. That's what it should be. So when they looked, so Harvard School of Public Health, if you're a woman and your waist measures 35 inches or larger, you're at risk for health problems for visceral fat. Men, that would be 40 inches or longer. So how it's basically measured is you stand up nice and straight, and you're going to do a waist to hip ratio. Stand up straight, find and measure the smallest part of your waist. It's usually like right above your belly button. Find a measure at the widest part of your hips and buttocks, and this is your hip circumference. Divide them. This is the math problem I was telling you about. Divide them. Divide your waist by your hip, and this is your waist to hip ratio. A waist to hip ratio above 0.85 for women and 0.9 for men indicates abdominal obesity. So here's some of the reasons why you would ever look at to evaluate that ratio. What they find is that, one, because sometimes we think, you know what, I'm comfortable in my skin. I don't mind having this extra belly fat. It's not really threatening to me. And it might not be threatening to you, and you might be comfortable, but it does have negative health implications. Research has found that visceral fat contributes to insulin resistance. So multiple studies have found that because of visceral fat, it secretes retinol binding protein 4. We talked about this a little bit. It is a protein that increases insulin resistance, right? Insulin is how your body manages blood sugar. So if your body inevitably is like, hey, what insulin? Blood sugar goes up. And then most importantly, that can lead to secondary heart attacks, type 2 diabetes, stroke, breast cancer, colorectal cancer, Alzheimer's disease. When we talk about active fat, what made me kind of think about this recently is I had, I was talking to a gentleman about the metabolic reset we do in the office. If you ever want to know more information about that, you can just text our office. The office number is 317-893-2853. You can just shoot us a text. You want to schedule a new patient appointment? 317-893-2853. Hey, I would like a chiropractic appointment. Hi, I would also learn about this metabolic reset to help me lose weight. Text the office, 317-893-2853. Anyway, so I was having a conversation with a gentleman recently. He was like, you know, they've got me, they want to start this testosterone replacement and all of this really heavy stuff. And I was just like, there's a time and a place, right? And he's like, my testosterone's so low. And I get that. But if you have and are carrying more belly fat, you know, oftentimes they'll say, here, take this testosterone. And by the way, we're going to put you on an aromatase inhibitor, right? And you're like, okay, cool. And then you think a little bit more and you're like, what's an aromatase inhibitor? And you're like, well, it stops the process of aromatization. You're like, that makes sense. What's aromatization? And you're like, oh, well, that's when your belly fat turns testosterone into estrogen. And you're like, okay, so what you're telling me is I might be overweight and my testosterone's low because my body fat is actively turning my testosterone into estrogen. It's stealing the testosterone. That body fat is stealing gut fat, is stealing the testosterone and turning it into estrogen. And then we're like, oh my gosh, you know what we should do? They're like, what? And you're like, give them a chemical to stop that process and then give it a bunch of testosterone. I bet you the numbers will go up. And you're like, okay, well, what's the long term on that? And you're like, oh. Fat tissue can help make steroid hormones, like estrogen and testosterone, and they can modify these hormones to convert one type into another. So, for example, fat tissue produces nearly all of the estrogen in older women and up to half of the testosterone in reproductive age women. As fat mass increase in obesity, estrogen levels are elevated, especially in postmenopausal women. This is often one where you'll see like women who have a higher amount of, that might be a little bit more obese, but have a higher amount of like chin hair, right? Like hair on their face, facial hair. There's literally so, I don't even know how far into depth, but that was one of those ones where you're like, what if we actively worked on losing some more belly fat? Because one, not only is it like a weight loss thing, but then your cells start to function better and they're healthier and healing and you have all of this aspect. Active fat has an effect on leptin. Leptin is what regulates your appetite. That's your appetite, your hunger hormone. Adiponectin increases insulin sensitivity, reduces inflammation. So when I tell you like from a hormone-based aspect, I mean, we could just to go on forever and ever and ever. And you're like, part of that is the visceral fat. That's your organ system. You'll see that even more so now, I'll see people come in and their ALT and their AST, their liver enzymes will be raised. And I'll say, do you drink? And majority of times people will say no, or they say, well, you know, I might have like one or two glasses of wine on the weekend. I'm like, no, that's not going to cause it. Because at this point, your liver is shutting down. Actively, your liver is not working properly. And the reason why that is because of the fat that surrounded it. And so what that's considered is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And this is specifically a condition in which fat builds up in your liver. Depending on the severity of it, it is reversible. So I think it's just like this fat, when we're like, I'm comfortable with who I am and the size that I'm at, I love that. But there's a certain point where you have to pick your head up and evaluate. It's not the weight. It's what that adipose tissue and that fat is doing. And then inevitably, when you say, I want to make a change, then we have to look. So let's go through some actionable steps on what to be able to do to help with this visceral belly fat. If you want to know more information about our metabolic reset weight loss program, what I'll likely have you do is just text the office. Again, it's 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. And then that way we can send you some more information or get you set up in a time in the office. But it's been interesting and such a blessing to me and to my family, like my direct family. My mom, brother, dad have all now done it. My dad's actively in it now, and he's killing it. I'm so proud of him. So again, if you want to know more information, just shoot over a text or call 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. What to do. Now, one of the most interesting things I learned when I was in chiropractic school, learning about the Krebs cycle, which I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to use this, right? Like, I'm never going to use the Krebs cycle. Ha! Lo and behold, I love functional medicine, and that actively uses the Krebs cycle. But there's an aspect through that cycle. When there is an excess of sugar that the body is not able to utilize, it sees that in innately. It says, how do we protect this human body that we are? And it's like, just take that sugar and store it as fat. Take that sugar and store it as fat. What's very interesting is we talked about fructose. Sugar is one of the worst offenders in all forms. High fructose corn syrup, I think, is one of the more higher offenders. Like, my kids love fruit. They love berries. I had a handful of berries today with my lunch. Blackberries, blueberries, raspberries, and strawberries. And I've talked to you before about how my grocery bill is incredibly high because I feed my kids really good organic fruits and vegetables. And it's an investment that I choose to make in their health. But what's so interesting is high fructose corn syrup. One of the best ways to reduce your sugar intake is stop drinking sodas. And that includes fruit juices. We don't have fruit juice at our house. If we have juice at our house, it's something that we actively juiced. Like, we actively pulverized through a slow speed mastication juicer. And they think it's the best thing ever. But I know that those fresh live enzymes are there. And it's one that like lasts 2 days. We do just a little bit. We don't do it very often. They can eat fruits and vegetables, but they're also pegged with a bunch of fiber. But when you look, I remember a couple years back, I had a sip of my grandmother's Concord grape juice at breakfast. And I almost fell out of my chair. I was like, that's sweeter than Kool-Aid. And so we always think that, well, I'll just do the diet or the sugar-free. And the problem with that is if it's synthetic sucralose or aspartame, there's all of these other negative health implications that come with it as well, unfortunately. Limiting alcohol. But then two, avoiding refined carbohydrates. White. All that white stuff, white bread, white rice. Cut it out. I've shared with you guys before, but I'll share it again. For a stint in time, I had a continuous glucose monitor. Not really for anything other than I just wanted to see how stress, different supplements, what I ate, when I ate it, how I fasted, prolonged fasting. Like, I wanted to see what happened to my blood sugar throughout the day. Like, what were my trends? And I was so interested to see what always spiked my blood sugar the most was rice. It was rice. Brown rice, white rice, cooked, reheated, fresh rice spiked my blood sugar the most. Now, that being said, I also have to put in the caveat, I wasn't having like a bunch of white bread sandwiches. I wasn't having cake and pie and ice cream. But even so, I snuck a couple of little mini cookies. They're like little mini chocolate chip cookies. I snuck those. They were just like regular cookies. I had a handful of them. White rice still spiked it more. White rice spiked it more than my red wine did, which I thought the red wine would really have an impact on it. So just those things where you're like, cut out the extra caloric sugar intake, white, refined. Make sure that your nutrition actually contains dietary fiber, like whole fruits, whole vegetables, beans, peas, enough protein. I have a girlfriend, and I don't necessarily do this as much, but she is right now eating her body weight of protein in grams. So she weighs like 125 pounds. She's trying to actively get 125 grams of protein a day, which is a lot of protein. She's like the most fit she's ever been in her entire life. It's very interesting. But at least 80 to 100, like if you're not trying to be in the most fit shape of your life, you're just trying to be healthier. Remember your spouse in 20 years. Get enough sleep. 7 hours a night. This is funny. A study, not like haha funny, but like that stinks funny. A study looked at 68,000 women, followed them for 16 years. Those who slept 5 hours or less were a third more likely to gain 32 pounds. 32! And finally, move more. You have to get up and move, right? Desk jobs, whatever that looks like. I'm always so astounded on how many steps I get in just doing my standard Sunday morning stuff, like unloading the dishwasher and laundry. And if you're not, get out and walk. That might mean you have to change around your schedule a little bit, right? You might have to actually include exercise in your day. But even if you're not going to the gym, which I highly recommend a couple times a week, start doing things to start burning that off. And if you need a little bit more management, if you need a little bit more guidance and plan, let me help you. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. That's GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.
This is Max Licato. Our moods may shift, but God's doesn't. Our minds may change, but God's doesn't. Our devotion may falter, but God's never does. Even if we are faithless, He is faithful, for He cannot betray Himself. He is a sure God. And because He is, we can confidently say with Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What a huge statement. Look at the size of it. Goodness and mercy follow the child of God each and every day. Think of the days ahead. He will walk you through. He will take your hand. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, not some, not most, but all the days of my life. Release your doubts. You are no candidate for insecurity. You can trust God all the days of your life. This is Max Licato.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
In 1978, football was the most important thing in my life, but it wasn't going that well. I remember a teammate came up to me and he said, "Tony, you profess to be a Christian and you tell everybody about God, but now when your career looks like it's teetering, you begin to panic." I think that was the first time I was able to look at football as something that God was allowing me to do, not something that should define me. Then the words of Matthew 16:26 started to sink in. "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?" God had me here for a reason, and it wasn't just to play football.
New York Times best-selling author Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
In a world without hope, one man came to Earth with a message of salvation. More than 2,000 years later, his followers continue the one mission.
It's mercy.
Oh, Dr. Normal, every alarm around the world is going off at the same time.
Siren mode activated.
Oh, thank you. That'll stop my headache, but my heart still aches for the people that are suffering.
Miss Mercy, remember, there is hope. Even though it looks like the world is falling apart, God is still in control.
Yes, you're right. There is hope. But with all that's happening, where do we start?
Let's focus more on what we can do.
One Mission Society has boots on the ground, helping Ukraine refugees with food, water, and temporary housing.
And one vanload of supplies costs about $5,000. That helps dozens of families in need.
We can recruit people to pray and to give to the work OMS is doing. Let's ask God to use the crisis to give hope to people. I got it. Let's send out a beacon of hope, along with onemissionsociety.org/Ukraine Relief.
That's onemissionsociety.org/Ukraine Relief.